Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Citizens of Perfectville, football is back, and BetOnline remains your number one source for all your football betting needs this season. You'll find the latest odds, matchup info, player news, and game trends. And as your continued source for all sports wagering info, BetOnline features live betting, free contests, live scores, and giveaways all season long. Always the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports and events like MLB, MMA, tennis, boxing, and even golf. Head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 100% welcome bonus with your first deposit. That's right, 100%. Make sure to use promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, to receive your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts.
In a world that's perfect, lies a perfect little town where one team stands alone. But now, something's stirring that will change this place forever.
Perfectville.
Welcome to Perfectville, your first place podcast for your 4-3 third place Miami Dolphins, part of the Believe Network, presented by betonline.ag, streaming on Sirius XM. And I am Sam Marcoux, and he is the two-time Hall of Famer. Of course, I'm talking about the good doctor himself, joining us live and in Technicolor, Dr. Christopher Colin. Doctor, how in the hell are you, my friend?
It's funny, the room I'm in, my wife has this really bright light on. I just looked at myself and you said in color, but I'm so white, I look clear. And the only thing popping is the Dolphins hat, honestly. But I'm doing good. I'm doing really good. Other than being Irish and pale as can be, Dolphins are on a win streak, Sam. So that's great news.
The ghost of Dolphins past is just a floating white orb and a Dolphins logo flying around. There's been some things that have been haunting this team, so it's appropriate considering that we're coming up on Halloween as well. I don't know if it's quite a winning streak yet, Chris. It's a one-game winning streak, but they were on a losing streak prior to this Pittsburgh Steelers game, as I talked about on the Finston Reaction Show earlier this week. It wasn't pretty, but you know what? Sometimes you got to win an ugly one, and the Miami Dolphins rolled up that ugly one and put it to bed, and a couple days removed from that Sunday night game. What are your thoughts? Because I told everybody mine, but we haven't talked to you yet. What are your thoughts about the team's performance against the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday night?
It was the story of two teams. I felt like first half, we looked great. Scripted plays. We're driving down the field, touchdown to Mostert. Even the couple of field goals, you know, great drives. Tua looks good. He's getting rid of the ball quickly. We have a great game plan in play. Running the ball well. Mostert had a great game again, as far as yards per carry goes. Nothing to really write home about. No big sacks. Everybody's worried about Tua. He looked fine. He looked good. And then the second half came and no points are scored. It's 16-13 halftime. You're like, okay, we are 16-10 halftime. I'm sorry. And we're like, we're okay. We're in a driver's seat. Defense is playing well, really good. Couple of long drives by the rookie there, Kenny Pickett, who I think is going to be pretty good. I mean, he had some good drives, albeit against a very, very, very weak and injury ridden defensive backfield. But he couldn't finish. And that's what our defense did. Jalen Phillips, I've been calling this guy out publicly on Twitter. So I'll go ahead. Here's my apology in case he listens or someone else does. Playing great. Exactly what I wanted. Just wanted the best for you, buddy. Great. He's doing well. Xavier Howard did his thing. And then all of a sudden, Bethel gets an interception. I heard a stat. I think he played like 60 snaps over the course of like the past 4 or 5 years total. And he played like 58 on Sunday night. So awesome for him to step up. That's great. We'll get into this a little bit more, Sam. Noah Igbinogbene. Now I can't even say his name after he does some good things. He has a good game, closes us out, gets his feet down. Can we talk about how bad that referee was, by the way? Right next to it, sees the catch, sees the feet, and goes incomplete. Thank God for instant replay.
Yeah, and I think it was the snowman, Javon Holland, who said it right away. Like, no, he got his feet down. We're replaying that. That is the game clincher right there. And maybe it's a good thing that you can't pronounce Noah Igbinogbene's name right now, because he seems like a new player, so maybe he should get a new name. It's kind of funny, Chris, because last week we talked about this. We joked about it. He played decently against the Minnesota Vikings in a losing effort, and you were talking about how even though he had a couple of passes defended, he should have caught them. And you were giving him some crap about that. And then he comes in here on this game. I think he listens to the show and said, fine, I will catch it at the most opportune time when everybody's collective butthole as a Miami Dolphins fan is puckered because concussed rookie Kenny Pickett is driving down the field. Brandon Jones is out. And now we know out for the season with a torn ACL. We'll talk about that a little bit more here in just a little bit. And I'll just go ahead and get my hands on this ball. I'll get my feet tapped in like I'm Devontae Parker in my prime. And I'm just going to fall to the ground and hold it. Meaning the ball all the way through. So it could not have been a better, he had to have been over the moon. I mean, you could just see the relief, like basically oozing off of him once he took his helmet off, and you could see all of his teammates so happy because they know, I mean, they're not dumb. He isn't that good of a player. He hasn't shown himself to be a first round talent, but you can tell that they like the guy. I mean, they're so happy for him. I mean, obviously he clinches the game, but I think on a personal level, they're like, good man, maybe the fans will leave you alone for a little bit. Maybe the media will shut up about you for a few days. You know, maybe there's going to be somebody who wants to actually interview you about something good you did. You could just tell his teammates were super happy for him. Personally, you know, now a few days away from this game, I feel better about it than I did even when I did the Finstant reaction show. I'm not sure there's some fixable things, but I really like the way this offensive line played in this game. I thought Raheem Mostert ran the ball pretty well. They obviously kept Tua clean. Clearly, there was an emphasis on getting rid of the ball faster if you're Tua Tagovailoa. But he kind of broke his own rules a few times, Chris. I mean, what were your thoughts on Tua going head first a few times over? I mean, he slid once, but he showed up about 2 yards short of the first down. And I think he was like, nah, fuck this. I'm going to play ball the way I play ball. Were you happy, sad, scared, excited all at once? What was going through your head when he decides to take on Devin Bush, of all people, head first?
Terrified, scared, nervous, not happy, not excited. Tua Tagovailoa, slide. Please, God, slide. Look, as a competitor, as a former football player, of course, I get it. You're out there. The lights are on. It's national TV. You'd been sitting there thinking about this game all day long. You get out there and you're like, oh, I'm going to show them I'm fine by putting my shoulder down and hitting, trying to truck a NFL linebacker. Sam, we talked about this last week. This isn't old. Nick Saban's been telling Tua Tagovailoa to protect himself for the team, for himself, for his future. Had an interview, of course, it's a national TV game, has an interview with the interviewee. And of course, is like, you know, I got to do things to make it correct and protect my career. And then he goes out and I don't think there's anybody that wasn't pulling their hair out. Like, please, Tua, get down.
You know what? The funniest part, and people can't see this. The funniest part actually right now is that as Chris was talking, his entire microphone contraption, the microphone, the articulated arm that's holding his microphone with the pop filter was slowly descending, like just going down an escalator. And instead of just trying to stop it, because Chris is such a professional, and I mean this sincerely, instead of trying to stop it from happening, he just kind of sunk with it. Like, I might release that video, Chris, because you're just going down with the microphone so you can finish your point. That was pure entertainment. Well done by you. That is a professional radio/podcast person right there.
I know we haven't gotten to a decade in 10 years to where we're going to be really good at this one day, but I saw that thing in the peripheral. Like, I don't see bugs, but I saw the mic moving and I was able to left hand grab that thing and continue talking without missing a beat. I will give, that's why I have two aqua jackets. And that's why I have a doctorate in Dolphins fanhood. I'm still worried about it falling, but we're good. We're good. We're back and rolling. And unlike Tua, my mic was getting down.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm actually here in Las Vegas. You could probably see in the background, I'm in my hotel room right now. And I was just down at a conference talking to another guy about podcasting. You would have thought we were the two biggest dorks in the world because he does podcasting for a living. I do podcasting for a living. And we're talking about equipment. We're talking about software. We're talking about techniques. And I'm like, hey man, I got to go record one of my podcasts. We're like high-fived. And I'm like, by the way, what's your name? He's like, does it matter? I'm like, no, it doesn't. So anyway, we're all about that podcast life here. So we'll get it done in 9 years as opposed to 10. But anyway, point is, I know this isn't going to be a popular opinion. And I know that talking about this, I liked seeing Tua Tagovailoa take those guys on. I liked him saying, fuck it, I'm putting on the black hat. And you know what? Pull me out of this game. Now, had he gotten his bell rung again, I'd probably be singing a different tune. But the fact that he lowered his shoulder,
He looked like he was trying to protect himself, even though he was playing hard, gritty football. And he got up, no issues, and got right back into the huddle. I thought that sent a message to his teammates. I thought that sent a message to his coaching staff. And I thought it sent a message to the media and the NFLPA in general. Like, you're not going to stop me from playing the game the way I need to play it. Now, could he be a little more selective as to who he wants to lower the shoulder on? Maybe not Devin Bush. I mean, maybe Reggie Bush. But let's not... I don't know. I liked it. The fact that he got up, got back into the huddle and said, okay, let's just keep going forward. Now, the funny thing to me, the thing that I think he needs to correct, Chris, is did you see his, for lack of a better term, juke move right before he lowered his helmet? It was like seeing an unathletic kid do an imitation of a good football player. He tried to fake right. He over-exaggerated his head whip, and he did not juke out Devin Bush. He went right. Nope, I'm going left. Psych, see ya. And then boom, here comes the hit half a second later. So if he has to work on anything, Chris, yes, getting down and getting rid of the ball a little bit faster, not having to make a play all the time. But also, if you are going to run and you are going to go and try to get around a defender, you got to work on your footwork, my friend, because that juke move was god awful. And if it was a tweet, I would have deleted it. But long story short, the Miami Dolphins come up 16-10. I had it 28-10. So I had the 10 part right for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But I thought our offense was going to be just a little more dynamic. I think I had Tua coming out with four touchdowns and over 100 yards each for both, you know, Tyreek and Jalen. Didn't quite get there, but I thought Jalen Waddle played a fantastic game. I mean, I went back and rewatched. He only had four receptions, over 80 yards receiving. One of those catches might have been his last one, Chris. You probably know what I'm talking about. He jumped to the moon to go get that ball and come back down. I did not know Penguins could fly. I thought maybe Aronde Gadsden had, you know, taken over Jalen Waddle's soul for half a second with that athletic feat. What are your thoughts on the other players? Tyreek, Jalen Waddle, Raheem Mostert, Chase Edmonds, Mike Gesicki, all the role players around Tua on offense. How did they play in your mind?
I'll start with Waddle. Just so impressed by him, especially after coming off of a tough week. We both agreed, and I'm sure he would too, that we might win that game if he doesn't have the mistakes he has, even with Tua not in the game. Super surprising he only had five targets. Like, I really, when I saw that stat, so he had five targets. Meanwhile, Tyreek Hill had 13. Super surprising to me, but the game really didn't dictate it, I guess. I mean, he still led the team in receiving with 88 yards, a buck 50 combined, if you talk about Hill and Waddle. So even in a game where, and this is great, a great problem to have, Sam, is where, in our opinion, they probably didn't have the best game statistically, and they still combined 150 yards. So, I mean, that's great. I mean, obviously, they still have Minka. They came in with a plan to stop the deep ball. And like you mentioned earlier, we kind of dinked and dunked a little bit and took over the middle of the field. Tanner Orlovsky did a great job of breaking down Tua's reading, his footwork, and getting the ball out quickly. I thought Gesicki did okay. Three catches for him for 27 yards, not like huge. Mostert with four catches, including the touchdown, of course. Great game for him because he 79 yards and 16 carries. That's almost a 5 yard per carry clip. Saw a cool stat yesterday, which, by the way, Mostert was on NFL Now with Andrew Siciliano. And he, they mentioned his yards per carry with at least 350 yards. Carries. He's like number three or four. Yeah. Behind like Bo Jackson and like a couple other like NFL legends. His yards per carry are great. Honestly, I think he should have got more carries because Chase Edmonds, in my opinion, had a horrible game.
He did not play well.
Did not play well. He leads the league in drops, Sam. Saw that from our good friend Jason. He let me know that. And then there's a picture going around and a video as well. It was on Reddit I saw, and I saw it on Twitter, where Edmonds on that fourth down call where people are questioning McDaniel's decision to do it. If he just run straight like the hole is huge, blocking was set up, he instead cuts it into the backside of the lineman. I don't know if he's not getting the playbook. He's just having a very disappointing year considering the money we're giving him, and I'm just clamoring now for even more carries for Raheem Mostert. Just stop giving them to Edmonds at this point. Him even having seven carries, that could be Gaskin splitting carries or giving more to Mostert. He only had 16.
Yeah, I'm hearing about, you know, Miles Gaskin more and more, and I like Miles, don't get me wrong, but I'm not ready to give up on Chase Edmonds because I do think he adds an element in that passing game in general. Obviously, right now, that's not happening. He's got five drops on the season, like you said, tied, I think, for the league lead. He did miss that hole on fourth and three, but I would say we missed that call on fourth and three. I stand by what I tweeted out at that point, which was, kick it is a very low scoring game. Jason Sanders actually has momentum on his side in this game. It's a chip shot. You let Jason Sanders go out there and let you go up two scores. Because if Kenny Pickett had gotten that ball into the end zone with whatever it was, a minute and a half left, we probably lose this game 17-16. And that decision becomes even more paramount. So I think Mike McDaniel has to learn when to hold him and when to fold him. Because later in the game, he actually punted on 4th-and-3 when I'm like, that's the one I would have gone for.
Right.
Now, I think I know what he was trying to do. We ran it on 3rd-and-3, didn't get anywhere. And he puts him back out there. And it's kind of a quick snap, same play. And yeah, Chase Edmonds probably missed the hole. But I would have given the ball to Tua Tagovailoa in that instance. I would have said, Tua, you're going to go out and you're going to go complete this ball to Tyreek Hill or Jalen Waddle or Mike Gesicki or Chase Edmonds out of the backfield, whatever, as opposed to that run play, if you're going to go for it. So I thought the decision was wrong, but then the play call on top of it was even worse. And then the execution, probably the worst of all, right? So it was just kind of an embarrassment on that play. But in general, I'm happy with this game. I think the biggest concern I have in this game is the fact that we lost Brandon Jones, because if there's anything that the Miami Dolphins need less of is injuries to that defensive backfield, especially to Brandon Jones, who, when you run this defense the way it's supposed to be run, is critical to that pass rush. I mean, you talked about Jalen Phillips, who's heating up. I'm seeing something with him too, Chris. It seems like he starts the season a little bit slow, a little low, and then gets this momentum, and he's just a streaky player. We saw it his rookie year. I think we're seeing it now. It looks like he's getting ready to just gobble up these quarterbacks over the next few weeks. So I'm here for it. It's going to be fun to see. But these injuries, we're going to talk about it in segment number two. Chris doesn't even know this because we were only going to do two segments, but we're going to do three. I'm going to add one here called, what do we do about that? That's what we'll call it. Sure, ooh, why not?
The old switcheroo. The old Perfectville switcheroo.
The old Perfectville switcheroo. There's that weird roundabout in the middle of town there, and all of a sudden you're going right. Nope, going right to the left over there. But anyway, final thoughts on the Pittsburgh Steelers. All the subplots. Minkah Fitzpatrick dropping a couple of interceptions. Brian Flores losing in his return, his revenge game, quote-unquote, to Tua. Did you see Tua's quote about not talking to Brian Flores after the game? Tua coming back, Stephen Ross coming back. There were so many subplots here. I mean, what's your overall takeaway from this game?
My overall takeaway, and I'll put it in a nutshell, is this. We played on national TV. We waited all day. All eyes on us. We were in gorgeous throwback uniforms. The home crowd was great. Pittsburgh's fans always travel, so I wasn't worried about the Fairmouth chants and things like that. We talked about this before the show, Sam. I never was worried about this game at all, and I felt completely in control. I thought if Pickens did score there, we go down and win the game on a field goal. I think their defense was stopping us. Our defense played pretty well. I mean, Ogba's out, all of our defensive backs are out. Those guys will eventually be healthy. Not Brandon Jones, unfortunately, get well. But all in all, in a nutshell, we beat an AFC team. You mentioned it, I think on air, but definitely before the show. I know you did. We were on a losing streak and we just needed a win, no matter how dirty, ugly it was. And now we start the quote unquote soft part of our schedule, coming off of a win. And it's something that you build on. And Tua maybe had a little rust in the second half on off scripted plays. We had a down game, quote unquote, for Hill and Waddle, and we still won against an AFC opponent. We are now, 2-0 against the 2-1 against the AFC North, with the Browns still coming up without Deshaun Watson. So yeah, I'm feeling good, man. Good win. Like you said, you got to get a win on the board. Teams that make the playoffs in the NFL, especially now, I said this actually in my training class at work, and I'll mention it to you, Sam. If someone told you preseason that this we'd be in this week right now with all these 500 or close to 500 teams, with the Eagles being undefeated, with Geno Smith outplaying Russell Wilson, the Broncos are trash, and the Jets have a winning record, no one would believe you. I mean, the NFL is complete parody with a capital P, and for us to be 4-3 in an absolute thick of it with a soft part of our schedule coming up and all those AFC teams beating each other up, you can't be more than happy than we are now. Like, absolutely.
And on top of that, you have the San Francisco 49ers, and we have their first-round draft pick. They have a losing schedule right now in terms of a record, and they're playing the Los Angeles Rams, who at some point the Rams are going to have to do something and beat these Niners. So it's very possible that we have a pretty decent draft pick coming in, depending on what they do. Now that they have Christian McCaffrey, they could go on a winning streak themselves. But we'll talk about all kinds of things. We'll talk about the throwback uniforms. We're going to talk about these injuries. We're going to talk about this running backs room. We're going to talk about possible trades in a segment I like to call, well, what did I call it earlier? What are we going to do about that? Right after these words.
Citizens of Perfectville, Dolphins fans, football fans of all types, are you looking for that perfect gift this holiday season to get the football guy in your life? Well, head to shop.believe.com and pick up the Cheetah Deuces shirt today. That's right, the very own swag, the very own merchandise, the official merchandise of Welcome to Perfectville can be found at shop.believe.com. You can find it in white, heather gray, or black. You can get it in medium, large, extra large, 2XL. So for the skinny guy or the fat guy and everybody in between, head to shop.believe.com and get the Cheetah Deuces shirt today. And thank me later, because they're going to thank you later, probably with awesome stuff like high fives and hugs and everything else. shop.believe.com. And we're back. Chris Cullen, Sam Marcou, welcome to Perfectville, part of the Believe Network, presented by betonline.ag. And Chris, we talked about so much in recapping that Pittsburgh Steelers game a little bit earlier here in segment number one. And we alluded to the fact that there's some things going on with the Miami Dolphins, as there always is. And I don't know that we have answers to all the questions. So maybe now is the time that we just revealed to everybody that when the answers do come, they come from Chris Cullen, they come from Sam Marcou. We sit down with the brass, with the upper echelon of the Miami Dolphins team, the front office, the coaches, even some of the players. Yep, that's true. And they ask us some questions and say, well, what are we going to do about that? And Chris and I, we offer our sage advice, and whether or not they take it or not, you know, that's on them. I can tell you with certainty, all the times that they've taken our advice, good things have happened. And the times that they haven't, bad things have happened. So we've got a pretty good track record, and I can prove it because I just said it. And yeah, you have to believe it. So anyway, we'll just open it up here. You know, this is our process here. What are we going to do about that, Chris? And right now, one of the things that's staring us in the face is that this defensive backfield is extremely injured. We have cornerback 2 through 5 that have been down with various injuries. And then, of course, you have Xavier Howard, CB number one, with groins injuries. And of course, now we lose Brandon Jones for the season with an ACL tear. And we're bringing in former players like Jamal Perry. We're looking at people like Noah Igbinoghene to be a starting cornerback when we have all been trashing him over the last 2.5 years, and rightfully so up until recent. What are we going to do about that, Chris? I mean, how are we going to overcome all these injuries to the defensive backfield? Because at some point, we are going to play a team that has a quarterback and wide receivers and a decent offensive game plan that is going to expose this immensely. So what are we going to do about that?
Last week we mentioned trading. The Eagles just traded for Robert Quinn, defensive end from the Bears. They're all in. Chips are on the table. The Jets lose Breece Hall, great rookie. First thing they do is trade for Robinson from the Jaguars. I mean, immediately. So they're on it too. They're not giving up on the season. We are down multiple defensive backs. We have until November 1st, Sam, to make a trade. And I honestly think Chris Greer needs to be, hopefully he is, we don't know if he isn't, on the trade lines right now, calling all around the league of these teams that are 1-5, 2-4, whatever, and seeing, hey, do you have anyone that like can walk, that knows how to open their hips and play defensive back, because we need them bad. Somebody mentioned, I saw on the Reddit tweet feed, Sam, you love this. Somebody asked, what is Tony Lippett doing right now? Like, honestly, there's like, I mean, we need to go get defensive backs. We need them now. We brought in Malcolm Butler for a workout, who now I actually looked up his stats. Not bad. 4 picks and 100 tackles in 2020. That's the last time he played. It was for Tennessee. I totally fever dream. Don't even remember that. I think it was COVID season. So that's why no one in the crowd, no one even realized, but, we got to do something, Sam. We have to make a trade. The deadline's in a few days. Get on it, Chris Greer, because we need to bring bodies into this building now.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just looking at, and we'll get into this a little bit more, but I'm just looking at the initial injury report for the Miami Dolphins against the Detroit Lions. And I don't even know if either team has enough players to actually field a team right now, based on what I'm seeing. I think the Miami Dolphins have 15 people on their injury report right now. And that includes, Jesus, by the way, safety Clayton Fajeta, who is, I think, 5th on the depth chart for the safety. And then, of course, you've got Xavier Howard on there. Actually, Xavier Howard is not on here. I take that back. No, he is. He's right there. He didn't even participate, but he's down to one groin. He's down to one groin injury. So then we have that going for us. We're down to one. We don't have multiple groins to worry about with Xavier Howard. But even the people that we're now having to depend on, are on this injury report. Cader Kahou was limited. Keon Crossan was limited. There's a number of players on here that I'm kind of looking at, like, are you going to be available? Because if you're not,
guys you just mentioned were out Sunday night. So if they're limited, hopefully that's good news and they're progressing. But again, we're talking about Crossan and Kahou. Like, yeah. I mean, I know he did some great things in the limited time he's played, but are we really rolling into Buffalo again? And are we rolling into these Steve Green Bay? And we're like, yeah, we're good. We got Kahou and Crossan. And no offense to those guys, but I mean, yeah, we got Holland. Yeah, we got Xavier Howard on one groin. And now we're counting on Noah Igbinogene to actually be a serviceable NFL football player. It's not great, scary. Bob. Yeah, to quote Mad Men, it's not great, Bob. Like, we need some bodies.
Crossan and Ken Kahou sounds like a couple of, like,
sounds like a band from like the 60s.
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds like...
Crossan and Kahou, opening like, for remember, Creedence Clearwater Revival.
You remember Steve from Blue's Clues?
Who could forget Steve? Yeah, it feels way like better than Joe, by the way. Steve was sucked. Team Steve.
Fuck you, Joe. But Steve and Blue would be like walking around the house and be like, oh, look at that. It's Crossan and Kahou. Hey guys, what's going on? Like, oh, we're just over here injured. I have a bad hip and I have a bad knee. Yay. Well, let's put it in our trusty notebook. Like, that's what it
sounds Sam. Like. Okay. Everybody's hitting pause right now and laughing so they don't miss the next part of this. You're in stand-up comedy. Why? You need to be doing children's television shows because that's hilarious. Crossan and Kahou is definitely like the two mice that live like in the cupboard and they're coming out to talk to Blue and Blue's Clues. Like, unbelievable.
Yeah, like the
Crossan and Kahou.
It's Crossan and Kahou. Hey guys. Boom, 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 boom. Whatever the stupid
Blues someone's got young kids at home.
I can never be the host of a kids show because I can't imagine me doing more drugs, but that's what it would have to be in order for me to host a show and just not off myself after one episode. I don't know. Somebody recommended Blippi to me the other day. And I'm no longer friends with that person. Like, it's the most insane. You don't have to deal with Blippi because you got a kid that like drives a car now. I saw it on Instagram. But Blippi is the worst fucking thing I've ever seen in my goddamn life. And I've seen the 1-15 Miami Dolphins from yesteryear. Blippi, I was like, I'm going to throw something at my expensive ass TV. I'm so mad at this. And somebody's like, why don't you just turn it off? I'm like, no, because I need to see how bad this is. But I did call the person back who told me to recommend this for my son. And I was like, fuck you, man. Like, I'm not coming to Christmas dinner, mom. That's fucked up what you just did to me. But anyway.
Yeah, lucky I don't know what Blippi is, and I don't even know if I want to look at it after you just went on that rant.
I wanted to hang myself. It was so bad. But all right. Speaking of things that make me want to hang myself, I watched the Sunday night football game, Chris, and I don't know if it was the cameras from NBC or if it was just, you know, the night lights or whatever, but the uniforms that the Miami Dolphins were wearing. I'm beating a dead horse here, which is what they do on Blippi as well, by the way. But I'm watching them in the throwbacks. They're obviously honoring the 50-year anniversary of the 1972, which, by the way, shout out to the remaining surviving people from 1972, but can we not put the camera on them up in the luxury box? Half those guys were drooling. The other half are like, we don't know where the fuck we are. Like, it was so, I felt so bad. Like, come on. Like, it's been 50 fucking years. We can celebrate it by showing the 72 Dolphins in the Ring of Honor, show the highlights. But come on, don't drag them. Let them go home and let them just hang out with their families. Like, it was so bad. Like,
the game started so late. Those guys are 900% in bed that time normally at home. There's a point pregame where like Zonka's on the sideline and Kim Bocamper like sits down, you know, next to Bob Greasy, who's fucking tanked. You can just tell he's just sitting there, his head's hanging. Like, I should be announcing with Don Strzok right now. And like, which of course I said his name correctly. Bob Greasy wouldn't have. That was just me paraphrasing, but
Don Stork.
Yeah. Stork. Exactly. Yeah, stop showing them. Poor Zonka. It's like walking with a cane. Like, and he, what are we doing?
I don't know. They showed one guy, and he clearly has CTE through his fucking ass, and he's just on, you know, up in his seat, and he's wearing the jersey. He has no clue that I even played for the Miami Dolphins back in 1972 at this point. It's just kind of, it's so bad, but that's not where I was going with this. I'm going to get so much hate mail for that. Where I'm going with this is that the uniforms look good. The stadium looked even better. I love the end zone with that Argyle sort of orange and teal, or sorry, aquamarine coloring, the old school logo, and everybody's been preaching it. You see it every single time we bring the throwbacks out every single season. You get the national media. It's like the only time we get praise from the national media, and they're telling us, why don't they wear these throwbacks all year round? And I'm to the point where I'm like, yeah, why don't we? I don't understand. Like, are we just killing it in freaking logo sales with the new swimming fucking dolphin? Like, what are we going to do about this, Chris? Like, why are we not in these throwbacks year round?
There has to be a rule or something, because the NFL is usually pretty strict. They just got rid of that rule this year where you have to have the same color helmet all year. Like, super still not fun league when it comes to stuff like that. Like, let them fucking wear, you know, spaceship colored camouflage. Like, who cares? Like, do you not like making money? Like, that's my thing. Like, it has to be because they're still selling at a decent clip current logos, and they now can sell double dip. And if they switch just to throwbacks, they're taking away some of their profit. It has to be.
Who gives a shit? Like, you see what the San Diego Padres wear as a baseball team? They wore something the other day that I was like, we were all on acid. Like, this is not even a color combination that could possibly be thought of. They were all just tripping balls right now. Like, but Major League Baseball's like, wear whatever the fuck you want. I mean, basketball is kind of the same way. I mean, I saw the Lakers in like black uniforms the other night. I'm like, what is that? But who gives a shit? They call it the Black Mamba series. I'm like, oh, okay, Kobe Bryant. Now you're selling more shit. Like, why can't they just, I don't know. It's so, and I don't understand the same color helmet rule. Like, if it's to the regulations for concussions, then who fucking cares what color helmet it is? If it's like the helmet itself is actually protecting and doing what it's supposed to do, it makes no sense to me whatsoever. I think personally, we have to just say, damn it, we're going to these throwbacks, which, by the way, we have more just like sustained success for whatever reason in those colors, in that uniform, in that palette of everything. True. Like, why not just go there full time? Get rid of this. I mean, what are the good memories of the current logo, Chris? Like, when you think of the logo that you are wearing on your head right now, what comes to mind? What is the number one thing when you see that logo? You go, oh, okay, yeah.
Two things. Ryan Tannehill and that whole thing. And Jay Ajayi and us going to the playoffs. Like, that's it. But the throwbacks immediately, Chris Chambers and Zach Thomas winning against the Cowboys, you know, Jay Cutler, I think, were the throwbacks when we beat the Patriots. I might be wrong on that. But the throwbacks, and to be fair, I was just giving you a reason why we haven't. To be fair, I'm in total agreement with you. Like, yeah. They're gorgeous. The gray face masks with like the stripes on the side and the socks, like, absolutely gorgeous. Non-Dolphins fans are on social media saying, why aren't these the permanent jerseys? Tom Garfinkel, know you're a friend of the show. Saw you on the sideline talking to Zonk in that actual situation I was bringing up earlier of the very obviously tanked Bob Greasy. Make it permanent. Like, I don't know if it's because it's been too soon, but we went from like a dolphin wearing a helmet to a cartoon dolphin wearing a helmet to a toothpaste cruise ship logo. Just go to the throwbacks. It's not rocket science. It's not hard. They're gorgeous. I hate them with a passion, but the Bills did the right thing and went back to their throwbacks. And in my opinion, look insanely better than that horrible blue helmets that they used to have. I mean, just do it. Everyone's clamoring for it. The players love it. I mean, just even see it, you brought it up, Sam, watching the game Sunday night, just seeing Tyreek Hill in the first time in it. I was like, damn. There's Tyreek Hill in the throwbacks for the first time. It's fucking dope. Like, it's just, it's different. There's a different feel for it. Bring them back with the modern equipment and the throwback. Look, it's just chef's kiss.
I wonder if Tom Garfinkel was talking to Zonk and was like, hey, how are you getting home? And he's like, Greasy's driving me. And he's like, nah, man, we're going to get you an Uber. Let's just.
What's an Uber? I played with a Dave Uber in 1978 in the USFL.
No, Mark Uber was with Marino, not us. That's duper, sir. But okay. All right.
You don't correct Larry Zonka with a fucking cane in his hand. No, you don't do it.
That's a good point. I mean, I'm talking shit about them, but if Larry Zonka was here right now with a cane, I would make sure I'm at least 8 feet away from that motherfucker because he will hit you in the head. He doesn't care who you are or what you've accomplished. You're not Larry fucking Zonka. And because you're not Larry fucking Zonka with a cane, that means he has every right in his power to hit you with his Larry Zonka fucking cane. So yes, I agree. I agree there. I take everything back that I ever said about Larry Zonka and the Zonka Straighter. I loved it on American Gladiators, sir. Thank you very much. Enjoy Alaska. and all the fish that you catch, probably with your teeth.
Yeah, he does. He's a monster. And honestly, let's talk. I mean, we're going off rails here. This is what we do. American Gladiators, one of the best shows ever. Like they one of the best shows ever. Nitro, Blazer.
Blaze. It wasn't just like a cardigan running around. How many American Gladiators can you name? Like legit names of American Gladiators. Like there's Gemini.
Gemini was fantastic.
Yeah, there's
Nitro.
Nitro, Laser.
Jazz, I think, was one. Was Jazz one?
There was definitely a basketball team called the Jazz. And a wrestler called the Jazz. How about this? This is always my fucked up one. There was a deaf female gladiator that they
really
named. Yeah. And you know what they named her? Siren. I shit you not.
Glacier one? Glacier's one, I think.
No.
Or am I thinking of WCW wrestlers?
you're making up, which by the way, like they're kind of one and the same, right? But yeah. Glacier was a wrestler. If I'm not mistaken, but Tower, yeah, he was a very tall guy. Sky, who was the female, very tall one. I watch this shit all the time. I was into it. Can you name the name of the referee on American Gladiators?
No, but I can name the one from Guts. Isn't it? it starts with an M. She was Australian. Michael Malley hosting Guts. Oh man, that was like the
gotta have it.
Yeah, kid version of American Gladiators. Like the nostalgia. Yes, that's what happens when we go, and I'm going to say it again, we go on a win streak, Sam. It's a win streak. One game's a streak because you can't go on a streak without winning the first one. So I'm going to call it like I see it. And now nostalgia overload. We're talking about American Gladiators. And how about the game where they have to put the soccer balls into like the trash cans?
And
they would fucking just like ear hole the shit out of these contestants. Like it was fucking, and they were on like AstroTurf, so you know that shit fucking hurt when they got drilled.
Not only were they on AstroTurf, Chris, underneath that was fucking concrete warehouse. I mean, that was a TV studio, and they just rolled out like the thinnest gauge of carpet out there and said, okay, your goal is to take that ball and get past that monster of a human being and shove it into this trash can. And if you don't, they're going to murder you. And like, that's what happened. That game was
It so personal when you scored on them that they would all fucking aim at you the next time you grabbed a ball, and you're getting scooped in like high and low by like these just steroidal jacked freaks. We need an actual like proper Netflix documentary, like 4-part on American Gladiators. Cause I remember reading stories about like Nitro and them, they would like fucking like shoot up like steroids and like lift for 30 minutes before. So they look pumped as fuck on television and just would absolutely clothesline, and they had to sign waivers so these guys can just fucking end the life of these assholes.
My favorite was the one where the American Gladiator was behind the protective glass, and then they had a tennis ball fucking ball launcher shooting tennis balls at 100 miles an hour at these poor bastards running station to station trying to shoot with a Nerf dart a target so that smoke would come up and cover up the American Gladiator. So like it's not hard enough that they have to get clotheslined to fucking hell by these guys for 5 games, but now we're gonna give them a rocket launcher with tennis balls, and
that always went crooked.
Oh my
always
God.
Went crooked.
Yeah, that little arrow. But like when they would get tagged with that tennis ball, it's like there would be a welt the size of Delaware on the side
of it. And it always hit them in like the liver and like the jugular, like every time. And then like here's the thing. Even if you got through that fucking gauntlet, the last one was like one-on-one. Like you had a 1v1 Oklahoma. Like a guy, throw tennis balls. Like fucking, as a guy's just like pelting you with like paintballs and Tommy guns, like that shit was fucking incredible.
Then if you couldn't throw the fucking fake grenades, like you just didn't have the, you know, the strength, then it's just like, well, just army crawl your ass to the safety around a corner with like no protection. So these poor bastards are out there army crawling, and just, and at this point the tennis ball is about from like this microphone to my face, and it's just like, I just love that show. You saw people die on national TV. It was fantastic.
The gauntlet at the end was great with like the fucking treadmill going backwards. You're running up, and then there's like this former, like, you know, Boswell, or, you know, the Bosworth is sitting there like holding like a pad, and like you had to go through like these paper doors and pick the right one. And if you picked the wrong one, it was a fucking 6'5", 250 pound guy just juiced to the gills, fucking scooping you into the goddamn corner of a fucking wooden production set. And then you've been doing this all day. You're doing rings and shit. Remember the rings? They had to grab the their legs around you.
Oh my God. Swinging on these rings. And then you get these fucking creatures that are 7'8" and they just fucking spider leg out and grab you. And you're just like, and then they just fucking yank you to hell. Like they just pull you off the rings. And like, if you were strong enough to just hold that gladiator and just hold on for dear life, so that the time would go out, they'd like just like take your fingers and just like fucking break them so that you would fall. It was amazing. What an amazing fucking show.
And then like to win, you have to do the bicycle thing. You have to like go, oh my God, the bicep strength you had to have. Like, and meanwhile, they're probably not even feeding you. And like in between, in between sets and commercial breaks, they're still getting like just steroid pills and like, you know, turkey legs and sandwiches for protein to continue. It was unbelievable.
If you were the grand champion, like you won that entire tournament, which means you were on the show like four times because you would progress through that tournament. I honestly think it was like a $10,000.
Yeah. You won like $80.
Yeah. And after taxes, it was probably like $5,500, which doesn't cover your medical expenses from, you know, what the time they made you climb up a tower and a guy just fucking kicked you in the face and you fell to your death again. Like the risk reward ratio of that show was fascinating to me, that they got anybody to sign up and actually be a part of it. It's basically like real life Demolition Man, or not Demolition Man. What was that movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger where all the prisoners have to go in and basically like, you know, fight for their lives. But anyway, welcome to the Gladiator Show. Dolphins, I guess we'll just take a break. This segment was nothing until American Gladiators anyways. Fantastic. I could talk about Mike Adamley and fucking Larry Zonka all day. I love it. That's how we got there.
Well, and before we end, this beautiful segment, it always said it was filmed at Universal Studios. And I remember like going to Disney and I was always like, why are we going to Disney? My parents like saved money like for years to take us to Disney. And I'm like, I want to go to Universal Studios to see American Gladiators. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah. That was every Saturday I would watch that shit. It was fantastic. And then
I'm so glad I unlocked this love of American Gladiators I didn't know you had, and I've known you for years.
Oh yeah,
because this has been one of the best segments in Perfectville history.
I mean, you would see these fools like try to score on that stupid ball game we're talking about, just get German suplexed and eat their own knees and just all their teeth just out of their mouth. Like, I want to see a greatest hits of American Gladiators and just see, you could just see the CTE develop with every single hit. Like, it's insane.
And it was in such a perfect time in the late 80s, early 90s.
Nobody gave a fuck.
Like, nope. No one gave a fuck. There's no lawyers watching it like, oh, I can make some money off this. They're like, fuck yeah, popcorn in hand. And these people are just signing waivers so they can get on TV and just get fucking drop kicked by China from WWE, basically.
Yeah. Do you remember that one where they would have the you know, that fucking goddamn humongous King Kong motherfucker on a pedestal, and then you would just get on a rope if you were the competitor and just try to swing your body and knock them off the pedestal, and it never worked. Like,
never.
Like a 400-pound monster, and you're just like, okay, here I come. Whee!
And then like, the way you fell was so dangerous. Like, you watch like Wipeout now, and they're falling into like 10 feet of water. These guys are falling on like wrestling mats, like from a local high school, and like neck first from like 10 feet up.
Yeah. It certainly was not child viewing appropriate, like Crossing in Kahoo would be on Blue's Clues. But anyway, I guess we're going to be done with this segment. We'll end with American Gladiators. Race is going to have a field day with this. All right, we'll come back. Speaking of American Gladiators, the head coach of the Detroit Lions, our former interim head coach, looked like he could have been an American Gladiator himself. We'll talk about Dan Campbell, DeAndre Swift, Jared Goff, and the entire Detroit Lions team as they play the Miami Dolphins right after these words.
Winter is coming, ladies and gentlemen. It is fall, but don't forget about the holidays. Maybe you got a late birthday this year for your loved one, your son, your daughter, your aunt, your uncle, your favorite dog, whatever. Doesn't matter. You can get everything that you need at Amazon.com by way of WelcomeToPerfectville.com. Just go to WelcomeToPerfectville.com and click the Amazon link, and it'll take you to Amazon.com. No hidden charges, no extra fees, just your normal Amazon.com shopping experience by way of WelcomeToPerfectville.com. But because you took that one teeny, itsy bitsy extra step in going to WelcomeToPerfectville.com first, you throw a couple dollars back to the WelcomeToPerfectville.com piggy bank. You help keep the lights on, you help keeping the show going, all the fun stuff that happens simply by going to Amazon.com by way of WelcomeToPerfectville.com. I thank you. Chris thanks you. The website thanks you. The podcast thanks you. Everybody thanks you. And your people in your life will be thanking you when you get them all the cool stuff this holiday season at Amazon.com by way of WelcomeToPerfectville.com.
And welcome back to Perfectville. Chris Cullen, Sam Marcoux. What are we? Believe Network. presented by Bet Online. I am fatigued from this American Gladiators talk that we just went through here, Chris. We spent more time in the commercial break talking about more things about American Gladiators. Just a fantastic show. If you've never seen it, for the younger folks of Perfectville, YouTube it. You can find it. It was just a brutal, brutal game that I don't think it was human cockfighting that I don't think would pass today's standards. But you know what else wouldn't pass today's standards is this defense for the Detroit Lions, Chris. What a god-awful experiment this is in Detroit right now. The Miami Dolphins are going to Detroit. The last time we actually won in Detroit, believe it or not, is like 2006. So it's been a minute since the Miami Dolphins have actually gone to
Motown. But to be fair, can I jump in there? Because I've seen this stat. Joe Shad is pushing it all around social media. We play in Detroit every 8 years. Like, yeah. So that year is like, because you always play a home and an away every 4 years with the NFC opponent. So like, yeah, we haven't won in Detroit since then. And it sounds like that was a year after high school. So it sounds for me, so that sounds bad, but yeah, I think we've played there once or twice since then. Like, I mean.
Yeah, well, so here's the thing that you're right. And I think the stat is skewed because of that, but
it's a reach.
We haven't won in general since 2006 against the Lions. We played them three times. We've lost three times. Detroit beat us 34-27 in 2010. They beat us 20-16 in 2014, and they beat us 32-21 in 2018. So two of those games were in Miami. One was in Detroit. We haven't won in quite some time. That's just the reality. So I think we owe them.
Yeah, and then 2006, the win was Joey Harrington, if I do remember correctly, who I believe was drafted by the Lions out of Oregon. And the game we lost in Detroit that I do remember is that Brent Grimes interception game where he had the one-handed thing. I was actually on a Disney cruise during that game and somehow was able to watch it out like in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico. And yeah, we lost. That was tough. Stafford beat us. So yeah, I was just trying to call out the timing. It sounds worse than it is. If you're the Vikings and you haven't beat the Lions since 2006, that's terrible.
Yeah.
In Detroit. But like you said, it's time. They're 1-5. They're cool on Hard Knocks. I like Dan Campbell, but it's time to go out there and not play down to our opponents and take care of business and win this thing handedly.
Yeah. The birds are chirping in Detroit. If you follow anything on social media and you follow the Detroit Lions like I do, for some weird reason I do, you can see that the fans are starting to turn on Dan Campbell. You know, his tough guy act, I think they like it. I think he actually personifies Detroit in general and that they're tough, gritty, and losers. But that he that was very nice. But I think his act is wearing a little bit thin there. Jared Goff is not the answer there. DeAndre Swift looked like he will play in this game, but he's coming back from injury. He's an oft-injured, very talented running back. Amon-Ra St. Brown is coming off a concussion. He's probably going to play as well. So the Detroit Lions will have some weapons back. But right now, Jamal Williams, their backup running back, seems to be their best player. TJ Hockenson, he's injured. I don't know if he's going to play or not. He did not participate in practice today. Very talented tight end. But this defense, Chris, if the Miami Dolphins can't put up at least 20-25 points minimum against this very bad Detroit Lions defense, then there's something going on in Miami that you and I will need to talk about next week.
Yeah, we have to come out and just win this game handily. It's one of those, if you want to be one of the better teams in the AFC, you play a team like the Lions and you just go out there, you put up a quick 28 and the defense holds. Jared Goff makes bad decisions. The good thing is last time we played Jared Goff with the Rams, we had that just like boat race of a game where it was like the Ogba, you know, sack fumble, Van Ginkle scooped it and scored. We sacked him multiple times on zero blitzes. He's not a good quarterback. He's just not. And no matter how bad you feel bad for Detroit and how it's just like they've not been a good team for, well, ever. you go out there if you're the Miami Dolphins and you just add another win to the win column, because there's going to be other AFC teams playing AFC teams that are good. Somebody's going to lose and you got to win these games. And if you want to be a playoff team, you win an ugly game in Pittsburgh. And then the next week you follow that up with a easy win in Detroit and don't fuck around, because that's what we normally do. And we can't do that anymore.
Yeah, this is a game that if you lose, you're going to look back at the end of the year and regret it. Even if you make the playoffs, you'll be like, we should have been a fourth seed instead of a seventh seed because we lost that damn Detroit Lions game. There is no reason for the Miami Dolphins to lose this game, even with all the injuries that they have sustained on the defensive side of the ball. I will say this, their offensive line, meaning Detroit Lions, has been pretty damn good this year. So I'm looking at this game. I know Emmanuel Ogba looks like he's going to come back. Jalen Phillips is heating up. Christian Wilkins is out there. Of course, Raekwon Davis, when he's healthy, is out there. Zach Sealer's done well. And then, of course, you got the guys like Van Ginkel, Melvin Ingram. Those are the guys that have to bring pressure. And really what they have to do is, I think, stop the run game. But I wouldn't bring a lot of fancy blitzes right now, especially with a beat up, you know, maybe undermanned secondary. I wouldn't be bringing additional pass rushers because I want as many people in coverage as I can possibly get to try to disrupt those passing lanes for Jared Goff and his wide receivers, tight ends, and running backs, whoever they may be in this game. So this is a game where I usually am for aggressive blitzing, but Brandon Jones isn't in this game, and he's probably our best blitzer on the defense. I'm going to go a little more conservative on defense if I'm the Miami Dolphins here, Chris and Josh Boyer, and I'm going to trust that my frontline defense can get some pressure on Jared Goff. And if not, that's okay, because I've got a bunch of bodies behind them that are either going to stop the play once it gets completed or as it runs downfield, or going to break it up or create a turnover. Three interceptions against Kenny Pickett was fantastic to see, considering we only had one coming into that game. That's what I would do. I would play a little bit more conservative, kind of like late 90s, early 2000s type Miami Dolphins defense, bend, don't break, and then trust that my wide receivers, my tight ends, my running backs, and my quarterback are going to put points up and boat race these guys right out of Detroit.
Here's what I do as Mike McDaniel, and I'm writing it down as I'm thinking about it. The analytics come into play, and you're like, well, their offense isn't great. Our defense is pretty good. Let's just go out there, play it safe, and, you know, score 16, 20 points and hold them off and win this game. I say throw that out the window. I say you go out and I air raid the fuck out of this team. I mean, you go out and you're just like five wide, going deep. Like, I don't care if you're up 14, we're still throwing it 40 yards down the field. Just score, 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 and literally make it a point to where Jared Goff is like, after the game, the coaches and all the pundits are like, well, you know, that's obviously not the game plan. Have Jared Goff throw it 50 times, but when you're losing by 21, you have to. Like, that's what you need to do. Like, this isn't like keep them in it, go up 10 and kind of get conservative. I want to go out there and let Tua fucking feed. You block Hutchinson, and that's really all you have to really worry about. And we're boat racing, like we said. I mean, you got to go out there and put up, just if we're not in the 30s, something's wrong. We honestly need to be. I don't care, it's not like it's a scary home field advantage for them. The crowd's not, I mean, if they even have anybody in the stands, I mean, it's just they don't, they're 1-5 other than a Dan Campbell revenge game. Which, is it a revenge game? We gave him an interim job and gave him an opportunity. Like, no, you go out there and you completely just steamroll this fucking team.
Yeah. Here's my prediction. I think Raheem Mostert gets over 100 yards total in terms of passing and rushing. I think Tua Tagovailoa has a couple of touchdown throws. And I think Tyreek and Jalen look like Tyreek and Jalen. There's no reason why they should not be thriving against this very bad Detroit line. In fact, statistically, I think the worst in the league when it comes to pass defense. So I think the Miami Dolphins are going to put up a bunch of points on this game. I think they're going to do what I thought they were going to do against Pittsburgh. They're going to make that happen against Detroit. I think there were some obvious mistakes that can be fixed very quickly, from coaching to play calling to execution of those plays. And I think they get it right against this Detroit Lions team. I'm going to go first because I always let you go first. But I think the Miami Dolphins put up 31 points. And I think the Lions realistically get 7, but I'll be generous and say they get a late touchdown. So 31-14 Miami Dolphins on the road against the Detroit Lions.
Well, so this is why we do this. And this is why we're so good together, Sam. I have it written down. I promise you can hear the paper in the background if you're only listening only. So pencils down, right? I got Tua for 280 and 3 touchdowns in this one. I got the Miami Dolphins winning handedly 34-16.
Look at that.
You got them 31-14, 34-16. Honestly, this sounds like, oh yeah, of course. Who wouldn't? It's real easy to say that. I would literally come out and whatever we did in the fourth quarter against Baltimore, just do it the whole game.
Yeah.
Like, just fucking go deep, go crazy. Balls to the wall, your backs to the wall. Have that mindset that I want to just come out and just completely just dominate set the tone and go after it on offense to where our defense doesn't even have to sweat it. Cause Jared Goff's not leading a big comeback. Even though he's coming off injury, Swift hasn't played since week three. We take the run game completely out of it. If we're just scoring at will, I would love to win the toss and not even defer, just take the ball and go get seven, send the defense out there. The crowd's already out of it. And just, this is a game you win 34-16 or 31-14, Sam. This is a game you do that. Like, if you want to be a playoff team in a very, very competitive AFC, you go beat the shit out of the bad NFC teams. Like, it's period, end of story.
No, I agree. And I think you get it done early, and that way I can turn the channel and watch American Gladiator repeats on Peacock or whatever they house those on these days. So you've got it 34-16. I've got it 31-14. We both have Tua having a pretty good game in this one. It sounds like maybe the wide receivers are going to have a good one in this one. Chris, anything else about this game or in general before we get out of here?
Rest in peace, Siren.
Rest in peace to Siren, the deaf gladiator that we looked up in the commercial break.
My favorite episode in 6 years of Welcome to Perfectville is the Detroit Lion mashup American Gladiator. Dan Campbell, by the way, American Gladiator, right?
He'd be
like the can opener, right?
Yeah. What would be his name? He'd be the Danimal, right?
He'd be Danimal, or like Campbell the can opener, like Campbell soup. Yeah. Campbell the can. Yeah.
I was just thinking, like, because
Dumbbell Campbell.
I like the can. I like the can because he's probably gonna get fired after we beat his team. So I'm just thinking about this, Chris, real quick. I know we're supposed to be out of here, but American Gladiators always started with the referee going, "Gladiator ready, player ready," and then blew the whistle. How did Siren know when to go? Because he blew the whistle.
Maybe the hand down too. Yeah. Perhaps. There had to be a visual clue. Someone off the camera. Dude, good for her. Like, I can't wait. I'm rewatching this fucking entire thing. Cause it went from 89 to 96. Like, this isn't just like a two season, like we're just like kind of joking.
Season two through four are the best. Season two through four are the best. Yeah.
Yeah.
By far.
And it's like, it's a great show. So production value is there. If you got a deaf play, there's someone off camera with like a fucking, you know, tassel or something to let her know to go, or a smoke signal, something.
Do you think she knew her name was Siren, or they're just like, fuck it, call her Siren. Siren, get over here. Like,
you didn't do. Oh no.
We'll bleep it out. Red. No one will ever hear it, including Siren. So it's fine. Oh man,
you need to just host from Vegas all the time, and we just talk about nostalgic game shows from the 90s. I can feel the blood in my face right now. This is.
Who's the fucking asshole who named the deaf gladiator Siren? Like, why did you get a blind one? Go, here's Vision. Like, what the fuck? That's so stupid.
I mean, like, okay, but what's the counter to that? Are you going to call her Whisper? Like, are you like Silence? Like, what are you going to call her?
Jessica. Like, what the fuck? Like,
no, they have to be. It's Sky. It's Saber. It's Havoc. It's
Saber.
Hawk,
was tight. Saber ended up being.
And there is a Jazz, by the way. Jazz is there. So
yeah. So Saber ended up being Jax in the original Mortal Kombat movie. By the way, just a little bit of trivia for you.
Oh, the metal arm. All right. Yep. Yeah, we got Lace. Lace is a good one. Electro is a good one.
Electro was my favorite. She had this big old. She had this big hair, like big hair.
Dude, a lot of these guys are dead. It's really sad. The Wikipedia is terrible. Their heart's the size of a walnut because of steroids.
they rubbed steroids all over their body and then like slid all over each other. I mean, they weren't long for this world. Atlas, yeah.
Storm,
yeah.
Turbo. Atlas. Turbo's a good one.
Yeah, Turbo was good. Gemini, who was like, I'm pretty sure that guy, he had like male pattern baldness. He was probably 28. He looked like he was about 57 season one.
Yeah.
If you look up Gemini, he just looked way old.
Michael Horton is Gemini.
Gemini's better than Michael
Horton. He was better known before his Gladiator debut of losing on the Bob Eubanks Card Sharks and Press Your Luck. We talked about this off air. My favorite, Malibu. Malibu, one season with the long blonde hair. Season one, 89. He reprised his role as Malibu on an episode of Tosh.0. Oh. I'm going to have to look that up. So his name is Darren McBee. He was, dude, he's in Mortal Kombat Annihilation. He played Motaro.
Okay, yeah.
He's in it as Motaro. Well.
Yeah. So something about Malibu, and I don't know what episode. He was only in one season, but he got legit pissed off because somebody, like, scored on him in that football game thing that we're talking about. And, like, the very next play, he assaulted a guy. Like, I'd have to go back and look at it, but, like, that dude was legit pissed off, and it was pretty funny.
Yeah, he was known for his blonde hair, tan skin, and surfer persona. Dude, fucking, you can't make this shit up. American Gladiators is just like the Golden Corral of fucking 90s everything. Just everything about it was perfect.
Deep fried entertainment. Well, I guess with that, the only thing left to say, we're still in the air.
This is great. This is great.
Goodbye. From Perfectville.
Later.
It's CrossFit and Kahoo.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.